Ever since I heard that, I don't prepare messages, I receive messages. I read the Bible, I do Bible studies, I put down notes, I compose my thoughts when I'm coming to preach. But the message is received from God, and I say it as it is. Pastor Della, has God talked to you before? Well, he says, stand up and answer this question. Hey, God. Audrey. Do you fear the Lord? Hallelujah. Amen. Let me ask you a question. How many of us here lie prostrate before God? How do you lie prostrate before somebody you are not seeing? But nobody sees God and keeps standing. Although, even kneeling. Kneeling is a posture of worship. But it hasn't gotten there yet. When you see God, you lie prostrate. Your relevance. I'm going to say this. Is based on how much God can talk to you. If God is not talking to you, it means you're not relevant. Yeah. Because if you are relevant, he should talk to you. He must have something to tell you, by all means. Since you talk to Jesus, amen. Now let me share something little with you, ladies and gentlemen. I know that we all wish we can have. Everybody's crying. He needs something. Some need money. Some need food. Some need dress. Some need wives. Others need breakthrough, visas, anointing. But God gave me a good news for you. I don't know if I can preach it, but if I'm permitted to preach it, it's about receiving from God. Receiving from God. Many of us have really not received from God. Yes. Yes. Not because God doesn't want to give to us, but we are not able to bear. There are many things I want to tell you, but you cannot bear. Even this Melchizedek I want to talk about is hard to be uttered because you can hear. Some of us even ask, and God says, is it so much to ask? I wish you asked something better. The first thing I want everybody here to know is that God is a giver. Because He's a lover. For God so loved the world that He gave. The proof of love is giving. Amen. The proof of love is giving. The proof of great love is labor. Bible says to the Thessalonians, when I saw your work of faith, your patience of hope, and your labor of love, your faith is seen by your works. Your hope is seen by your patience. But your love is seen by the extra mile. But a proof of divine love is just not labor, it's death. No greater love than this, that a man would die for his friends. So that's the greatest level of love, death. So for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Now, Bible says if He spared not His only Son, but gave Him up freely for us, how shall He not with Him give us all things? Listen to this. There is nothing you need in this place. From the anointing of the Holy Spirit, from dimensions of encounter with God that are undescribable, from being caught up into paradise, transfigured, hearing words unspeakable, words that are not lawful for men to speak, to asking of mundane things of life, there is nothing that God will not give to you. Because if He gave us His Son, He spared not His Son. Give Him freely for us. What is it that He will not give to us? But I want you to also know that God is a giver of good gifts. Which one of you, your son will ask you for bread and you give him a stone? Pastor Soa, how can I ask God for a holy ministry and He will give me an unholy ministry? How can I ask God for anointing and He will give me a demon? How can I ask God for a good husband and He will give me a murderer? If you, being evil, you know how to give good gifts to your children. I know how to give good gifts to my children. Now listen, ladies and gentlemen. God is an expert at good gifts. So when you want to ask, be careful how you ask. He's an expert at giving good gifts. Because you see, in Him is no variableness, no shadow due to change. He's so good. But once there are good gifts, there are better gifts. Paul said there are best gifts. And covet earnestly the best. He said to the Philippian church, I want you to approve. I want your knowledge to increase. In discernment, that you may know how to approve of excellent things. Paul said, "Covet the best gift, Yeshua, the more excellent way." Now, there is something I want to show you here quickly, as God shows me, with the encounter He had with a Samaritan woman. It was all about the gift of God. Bible says when Jesus knew that the Jews have heard that He baptized more people than John and made more disciples than John, though Jesus Himself baptized not, Bible says He left Judea for Galilee, but He must need pass through Samaria. The first thing I want you to know here is that Jesus was having a very successful ministry in Judea, but He had to leave that so-called successful ministry to get into a better one. The first key I want to give you here, ladies and gentlemen, if you want a better thing, is to leave the good one. There are many of you here that are not able to get to the next level because you are already overwhelmed with the level you are. And when God gets ready to move with you to the next level, He's going to ask you to leave some of the things that you love, some of the things that seem to be successful, and some of the things that seem to be working well for you. And the Bible says He must need go through Samaria. Samaria is not a place anybody want to go to. Those of you who know the story of Samaria. But if you will go into greatness, you need to go through Samaria. There are some of the things that God wants you to gird. He will take you through some places. You can never have the baptism of fire without going through fire. Because you can't handle the fire. When you see a man on fire for God and has fire on his head and fire on his ministry, it's only because he himself went through the fire. That's why he can carry fire. You can't be a carrier of fire without going through fire. It's a joke. So he must need go through Samaria. And Bible says, now remember I'm talking about gifts that we receive from God. And Bible says that he comes to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, to a parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Look at this. And when he came to the place, being weary, he sat down on the well because of the sixth hour. This is somebody who, because of his father's labor, has a parcel of ground and has a well. Joseph had that well not because he dug it, because his father got it. Some of us have no legacy left for us because nobody did it for us. But the good news is that you, being a good man, can leave an inheritance down for your children. Bible says Jesus being worried when he sat down there to rest. If we haven't entered into any rest yet, ladies and gentlemen, it's because nobody has labored. Jesus said, I've sent you to reap in a place where you have not labored. Other people have labored, they've entered into their rest. For some of you, the kind of levels you're working in now is because somebody paved the way for you. And God is saying that there are some of the things people can just freely receive because others work it out for them. And that Jacob had worked and left it down for Joseph, a legacy. And we need to leave a spiritual legacy for this nation of Ghana. Our spiritual children that are coming, we need to leave something down for them. A well that they can drink from. Well stands for covenant. And Jesus being where he sat there to rest. May somebody rest in your ministry. May somebody find rest in your home. But maybe nobody did it for you. Let us labor to enter into the rest. And Bible says, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. It was not planned. She didn't know. It was not by revelation. It is something you may call by chance or by luck. But you see, in God there is no luck. Jesus Christ knew that this woman would be coming there. And when this woman came, Bible says, Jesus said, give me a drink. Because his disciples had gone to buy food. If Jesus' disciples were there, Jesus would have asked his disciples to give him water and not this woman. So the absence of the disciples gave an opportunity for the woman to give to God, to give to the Lord what he never could have given to the Lord. There are certain times that the absence of certain people, both in our life, some people leave and vacate their places and move out of certain places so that you can have opportunity. And for Jesus also, if the disciples were there, Jesus couldn't have had an opportunity of talking to this woman because it would have distracted him. And you need to understand that when people walk out of your life, it's because God wants to bring something into your life. There are some things you would never receive until people leave your life. I am telling you. It was when Jacob remained alone everybody left. That's when the angel appeared. So Jesus said, give me to drink. If I were thirsty, I wouldn't have asked you. But give me to drink. I said, what? To give you to drink? You are a Jew and I'm a Samaritan? And Jesus said, if you knew the gift of God. You see, how do I know what is the gift of God? You know by what he asks you to give. God wants the best of everything. So everything God asks you to give to him is a sign that that is the best. Because God will never take anything that is not the best. So when God said, my son, give me your heart. The best thing you can ever ask God is, God, give me a heart that is right for you. When he said, woman, give me water. He was talking about a woman's life. Because water stands for life. And the best thing the woman could have asked was to ask for life. Water stands for spirit life. I ask God, we ask so many things that are not even relevant. How do I know what are the best things? He says, the things I ask you, that's the best. It's an irony. What you should be asking God, that is what he's asking you. So he said, if you had known the gift of God, the person who is asking you to give him a drink, you would have rather asked him so that he would give you that living water. Jesus. He said, well, are you greater than our father Jacob who gave us a well? Who drank for him himself? There is always something greater than what you can see. And there is always something greater than what you have available with you. The answer is yes. He was greater than Jacob and greater than our world. Every physical thing is just a sign of a greater thing, spiritual. Everybody who drinks this water will test again. But the water that I give becomes a well in him. You see, this well is outside you. It's physical. So it's temporal. But the well I'm going to give to you will be inside you and will spring to eternal life. That's why Jesus said to Mary that, you see, what Martha is doing is outside. But the well that I'm giving to you is inside. Nobody can take it from you because it's inside you. The devil can't steal it. And he said, well, then give me this water so that I thirst not again. Jesus said, you should ask. You should have asked. So she began to ask. Some of the things we receive from God, we receive because we ask. But asking is just the first level to receive him. In fact, the lowest level to receive him. But you still have to ask. Why should we ask? Jesus says, ask, it shall be given to you. Ask because God is a gentleman. He never forces anything on anybody. God will say, I want to give you the gift of prophecy by force. I want to give you this by force. When you ask, he knows you want it. When you ask, he knows you want it. So he said, ask. But it is the lowest level because God knows that there are people who still ask who really don't want it. They ask in any way for fun. It's not everybody who asks that really wants it. That's why I say you have to seek. Sometimes you want the anointing. I want the anointing. And God looks at you. He doesn't give you anointing because he wants you to seek for it. He knows that if you are really hungry, you will seek. So you start looking for, who is the anointed man to lay hand on me? Which material can I read? What can I do? You start praying. You start fasting. You start seeking. That's a better level. And then when you seek and you don't get, you start to knock. And that's more aggressive. You literally pounce on God. And that's why the friend at midnight is a powerful one. Moses pestered God until God knew he really wanted it. He pestered God until God knew he really wanted it. Because God knows our religion. We come and play church. Oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord.
Even when people are cleaning their tears, they are cleaning with style so that it doesn't mess their makeup up. And then somebody is desperately asking for anointing. So he waits until we start knocking. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus. But the greatest things of this life that we receive, we don't receive just because we ask. We receive because we deserve it. Because we have paid the price. So Jesus said, well, you say I should give you the living water. Go bring your husband and I'll give you the water. There's a price you have to pay for what you want. There's a price for spiritual power. There's a price for the level you want to get to. There's a price for that place of honor. There is just a price. And the price is, woman, go back and bring your husband before I give it to you. And when you pay the price, asking doesn't mean anything. I said that the things we normally ask and receive are small, small things. When you really are getting a great thing, you need to seek. It's a powerful thing, you need to knock. But it is a very, very great thing. You need to pay for it. Because anything that doesn't cost you is worthless. So David knew if you got Onan's field for free, it was useless. Someone said, well, but the person who received the double portion of anointing asked, that's how he received it. No. He didn't receive it because he asked. How did he ask? He says, give me the portion of the firstborn. I qualify for it. I'm your firstborn. Out of all the sons of the prophet. When he said, give me the double portion, what he actually said was that, give me the portion of the firstborn. Because out of all the sons of the prophet, I paid the price. So it was on basis of what he earned. The asking was just a mere formality. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then the woman said, I don't have a husband. And Jesus said, yes. You've lived with 5 husbands. But not even the one you are living with now is yours. It's possible to live with something and never lay hold on it. It's possible to live near the anointing and not get it. There are many people who live close to things and never have it. They can never call it mine. They can never say, this is mine. This woman had 5 husbands and none was hers. You know why? She could not call them my husband. Because it was not for her. So what should this woman do to have one? To leave what he had. That's the key. If you want anything, you give. All the woman needed to do was to give up this man who were not his husband, and the real one will come. But he kept holding on to them because he thought, I need to hold on to it. And there are some things God has not given to us, but we snatch it. We go ahead of God. We try to take it. It's only occupying space. It's only occupying space. All she needed to do was to release it. Say, I don't have a husband. I said, okay. Now, woman, you've had 5 husbands, but even the one that is staying with you now is not your husband. Then the woman said, I perceive you are a prophet. One of the doorways to receiving from God is revelation. Revelation is what makes you to even know that the thing exists. Without revelation, you don't even know it's even there. Revelation tells you it exists. It is available. It can be mine. And anytime God opens your eye, it's because he wants you to have. there are some things we are asking for. I'm telling you, we are asking for them because we can see that they exist. There are some anointings you are asking for. They sound funny to everybody else because their eyes have not been opened to see that is there. If God doesn't want you to have it, He doesn't make you see it. Receiving is a gift from God. Ladies and gentlemen, we call it mercy. The ability to receive is a gift from God. Jesus came to His own, but His own received Him not, because they didn't have the power to receive. The greatest things of this life are things you don't deserve. Yeah. I'm going to say this last thing and I close. The greatest things of this life are things you don't deserve. You know why? So that you don't boast before God. The reason for mercy, reason for mercy and grace is not so that we can keep sinning and then come back to God and so play on His mercy and say, "You are merciful, forgive this one." No, that's not the purpose for mercy. The purpose for mercy is what Moses did. When Moses drew close to God and saw the glory of God and saw the mercy of God, he rode on the mercy of God to get what no man can get. When he saw God face to face and saw the grace of God, he said, "Nah, I want something which you say nobody can have." You say nobody can see you face to face and live. You say your true glory nobody can see it. That is what I want. And I want it based on your mercy. And he rode on the mercy of God and saw what no man can see. He said, "Because of my mercy, people see my face and they dissolve. But there's a little place here in the cleft of the rock. I hide it here." And God said to me, "Son, as far as the heaven is from the earth, so great is His mercy. Not towards those who frustrate Him and who play with His mercy. Who think that mercy is a plaything to sin so that there will be mercy. No, but so great is His mercy towards those who fear Him." So when He sees that you fear Him, He gives you more mercy. So you ride on the mercy to get what no man can get. And there is somebody who must ride on mercy. If you knew the gift of God, the person said, "Give me your heart, give me your time, I want you in my presence." It's funny. God doesn't want us for anything. It's we want Him. So I want you. And everything God asks of you is an indication that is the greatest thing to ask God. So I make my mercy available so you can get what no man can get. Let me tell you why mercy is the greatest thing. When Moses saw the glory of God, he didn't see only mercy. He saw so many things. But His mercy, or you call it His love, is the greatest of all. You know why? Because all the attributes of God, including judgment, were used to producing mercy. I know he didn't get that. God said, "I want to give these people something, but they can't have it." And He used judgment to bruise His Son so you can have mercy. So all the attributes of God, including His judgment, were all going to produce just one thing: His love. God so loved the world that He killed His Son. We say love is the greatest because all the other fruits are in love. Everything is in love. Judgment of God is not the highest. It's His love. I don't have to judge my Son to show you my love. I have to judge my Son for you to have what you cannot have. The Bible says, "If He spared not His Son, but gave Him up freely for us, how shall He not with Him give us all things we need?" Amen.